Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The doctor is in. This is Wretched Radio. One Gregory Giffert, PhD from Masters University, also the host of Transform, the TV show and podcast, which I've been urging you to start downloading and listening to and benefiting from, happens to be with us in studio. Greg, you're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
You know, it's been an easy day of fun, calm work with you, Todd.
Welcome to Wretched. We were just over in the TV studio, did 4 TV episodes. You did an episode of Transformed, and you did a bunch of stand-ups. And we've got a dinner meeting. You're young, you whippersnapper.
The Lord, of course.
Keep up, would you? I got to tell you, face-to-face, your Transformed podcast, it is the bomb diggity. Absolutely.
Thank you for your kind words.
One of the finest podcasts out there. And I say that confidently, having never listened to any other podcast from anybody ever. But I am still persuaded yours is the best. You are a biblical counselor. You teach it at the Masters University in, California. It used to be a part of America. California? Is that how you say it?
It's the Republic of California.
Exactly. That is right. Even your logo looks like a little, it could be a little Soviet-y. You're teaching biblical counseling there. Right now, you've got an undergrad, graduate, and a doctoral program That's in right. biblical counseling. There can't possibly be that much to learn. Go ahead and hit that ball right off that tee.
So one addition is online as well. So we do in-person, online, and modular.
You know what? Okay, I just did the commercial. That's not what I was asking
I'm continuing.
For. I wanted, it went into the woods. It was a slice deluxe. It was sort of like Jordan Spieth on the third day of any tournament. You just shanked it is what you did. I'm talking about the depth of biblical counseling. Is there, seriously? Is there that much to be learned you could get a doctorate?
At each level, you grow in your proficiency. So initially, you're just kind of figuring out where the mountains are, and then you're actually becoming an expert in the mountains as you progress. So is there that much to learn? Yes, if you're including not only the practice, but also the theory side. Yes, absolutely.
All right. You are going to help us today. And when I say us, I'm talking about myself. I need some help. And so you are going to walk me through a biblical counseling session, and we're going to identify what it is that you're doing, right? Yep. So day one.
Yep. Day one, we meet.
You. No.
Oh, you're still going.
Right. This is going to be a role play. Hi.
Hey.
Oh, you're supposed to be the biblical counselor. I'm kind of the sheepish counselee. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm here. Aren't I?
Yes, you are. Thank you for taking the time to meet with me. I know that's not always easy to do.
Ah, so you're being sympathetic, are you? Empathetic. Which one is it? Where you kind of walking along, so you're relating to my distress a bit.
Yeah, probably more empathetic, hopefully, but yes.
Okay.
Compassionate.
And the point of that would be what?
Well, first of all, I want to honor the Lord in the way I treat you, but to gain a relationship with you in which you trust me.
Yeah, that's kind of important because if you just download a bunch of data, it doesn't relate. So you start out by building a relationship. And then is it a series of questions that all end with, and how does that make you feel?
No, we'll also rotate and tell me about your father. No, but do see that question asking is an important part of us learning who you are.
All right.
So we want to ask questions that pertain to the reason why you're coming for counseling.
You know what I think was the best part of Instruments in the Hands of the Redeemer book by Paul Tripp? I get the two mustaches confused all the time. Mm-hmm. Was his section on question asking.
Right.
Do you recall that?
The no section, the love, no speak, do. I think it's the no section, K-N-O-W.
Ah, there, because I'm like, what? What no. you talking about, Willis? Yeah, get that you ask questions that actually bring it out. So for it, you know, I come in. I'm a little sad. What sort of questions would you use to start to open me up? And I'm asking this not just for a primer on biblical counseling, but with my kids, with my spouse, who's maybe appearing a little bit blue. How can I be the bucket that goes down into the well of their heart and pulls things that are helpful up?
You have to grow in your ability to ask questions, and not close-ended questions, but open-ended questions that are doing exactly what you just described, which is drawing out what is happening in the inner person. Those open-ended questions are going to be, what's going on? Can you help me understand what's happening? What are you thinking about? In your perspective, is this taking place? Okay, yes. Now help me understand what that looks like. And just getting into that habit of open-ended questions to draw out. And if a person is unwilling to answer questions, that's a separate conversation. But most people, that's why they're coming to a biblical counselor. They want some help. So you're just trying to prime them a little bit. For family, especially family that's open to us asking questions, kids in this case, yeah, we're getting into that habit of saying, yeah, tell me more about that, or help me understand what you mean by that. Mm-hmm. How does that look personally?
See, that's really hard for me because I know the solution immediately. So I have to be a little bit patient. Okay, wait a second though. We're talking teenagers here, and you know what you're going to hear. Whatever. I'm fine. Dad, just let it be. How do I, maybe I can't do anything to break that down. What do I need to do so that I can have entrance to actually ask important questions that get answered?
It's funny because there are people that are just inherently difficult to communicate with. And sometimes, this is not true for all teenagers, but there are some teenagers that communication is not their number one game. So it seems like you almost have to have a willingness to communicate at all times. And as soon as they offer a crack, a little entry gate is the way Paul Tripp describes it, then you now have to move into that gate whenever it's open to you. And most of the time it's after 9 o'clock at night. It seems like it's...
What is... I know he says that and I've heard that before. What kind of zodiac voodoo are you prescribing here?
This willingness to listen at late hours of the night, that prescription?
Yeah. What is it about the evening that opens up a kid?
You know, I wonder that as well. And I wonder why my mind is shutting down about the time.
I know.
My son's mind is starting to open. And I think, Lord, give me wisdom and grace to...
Yeah, the kitchen conversations, that can happen. Food doesn't hurt. But if my child is just constantly blocking me, wouldn't that be a sign I probably have some other things that need to be worked on?
Yeah, so you're...
You need to talk into the microphone. Are you new to this?
You do a podcast. I'm dancing. All right. Yes, you would see this as, okay, I am not going to have an intimate, in-depth conversation with my teen if we have zero other communication in our life. So to your point, is there a breakdown in our relationship? Well, yes, there is a breakdown. If we can't talk about basic things, then what makes me think that I can go into the deep end of the pool in this conversation? So how can we cultivate on-ramps for general communication, mutually enjoyable times, sports, hobbies, things like that, so that we can actually move to the deep end when necessary, and then also move back and not stay in the deep end all the time and completely tax each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking about homework, for instance. You got any homework? No, I'm all done. You're sure you're done? Yep. Okay. Wait a second. You could go deeper to know what the homework was, how they feel about the homework, just cultivating communication on a different level, because you're right. You can't just dive into the deep end of emotions.
But that's true in every relationship when you think of it that way. What friend do you have that you only talk about very, very deep things with and you have no other common interests?
That's easy. Jimmy.
Absolutely.
I feel the same way, Jimmy.
Thank you.
All right. So I'm coming into your counseling session. Sorry, we just went down a rabbit hole for a moment, but I come into your counseling session. You're going to develop a relationship with me. You're going to ask questions. Most of the biblical counseling cases, do you use that word, cases?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Cases are sin issues versus just needing some wise counsel issues.
Or one other category of, depends on how you want to split sin. Is it sin or suffering. So it's not always that this person is sinning. Sometimes a person's being sinned against in that way.
Right.
And then other times, like you've mentioned, it's just general counsel from God's word. There's not necessarily a repentance issue. It's that you have to get someone maybe a little bit more skilled than you in God's word to connect the dots for wisdom on what to do next.
Yeah. So it's a kind of a combo platter. Because we have a tendency to think counseling, oh, it must be some sort of mental or emotional issue. And it certainly can be, but it can just be untangling a ball of twine called life.
Right.
And needing an outside perspective.
Right. And many times I'm even seeing generational differences. Our younger generations are the kind that go to counseling for seemingly less sin, problem-oriented stuff. They just kind of want help or want to reflect on things with God's word. And an older generation would actually wait till there's a crisis before you reach out.
There's a different attitude about our emotions, isn't there? Dr. Greg Gifford, he is the host of Transformed, both the TV show and the podcast. I plead with you, start downloading that podcast. Dude, you got over like 5,000 subs on your podcast. It's growing.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah. Good. Little more enthusiasm.
That's it.
That's the Greg Gifford whoop-de-doo that I just heard there. We will be back with the sublime Greg Gifford next on Wretched Radio. You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Picture this, later this year, 8 brilliant minds will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org and get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. John Crotts, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Crotts is a pastor. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Crotts to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, the Masters Academy International, it's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. If you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that if and you want to at wretched.org/pastor.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre.
One genre we find in Scripture is an epistle. Epistles are letters written to the church at large or to a specific church, which contain doctrine, theological arguments, and practical application. God uses first century correspondence to deliver his timeless truth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, wait, the Masters University, the Masters Academy International, could it possibly be? This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Greg Gifford of the Masters University. Any relation to the Masters Academy International?
Absolutely. Closely connected.
Closely connected because the Masters Academy International, down the street from Masters U, you guys are in,
Newhall?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
But give me the bigger city that it's
Santa
near.
Santa Clarita.
That's what I thought I was going to say, Santa Clarita. Right. All right. Well, the Masters Academy International, they're actually housed at Grace Community Church with the Masters SEM. Well, that's where they're located. Trust me. I've been there.
I trust you.
Didn't you get invited? I'm sorry to hear that.
You know what? It's probably in the mail.
Yeah, probably. They give you really nice pens. Really nice pens. I think it's that ballpoint thing that MacArthur and Lawson have going on about writing out their sermons.
Right.
It's kind of a little cultish, but that's what it is. So at the Masters Academy International, you don't know this. We're trying to send 10,000 MacArthur Study Bibles to the Philippines. Did you know that?
I did hear that, actually.
Oh, cool. So we're getting really, really close. So if and you can perhaps get us to 10,000 or even more, the MacArthur Study Bible distributed to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines who are in good churches, but they can't afford a study Bible, we would like to bless them. If you can participate in that blessing, visit wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible. Talking about, and this, it just seems, can you think of three more qualified individuals to talk about masculinity than Greg Gifford? You know, this is a really bad idea. This is a really
you
bad
already put me in it.
Idea. All right. You did a wonderful series on your podcast about biblical masculinity. Being courageous is one. Here's another one that stuck out to me. Hard work. That's a godly attribute of a man.
And not only is it a godly attribute of a man, I'm going to say, okay, think of manhood 13 and up. So we're not just talking about once you turn 18, you learn hard work, that you're acting in a way that is unmanly when you are being lazy, because laziness means that you're now depending on others to provide for you. And you should be able to eat your own bread, to use the biblical term, eating your own bread, working hard so that you can provide not only for yourself, which is, it's pretty basic for a male. You should be able to provide for yourself, but the Lord uses men to not only provide for themselves, but to also provide for others. So that man should feel that they're at step one, ground level zero, when they're able to provide for themselves. But their call is to not only provide for themselves, but to provide for others that are around them.
Now, you said something on your podcast that caught my ear, because I suspect some people went, hey, pal, that number is arbitrary. You said something like, you're 20, you're 22 years old, and you're relying on mom to deal with, like paying the bills or doing adulting. You say you ain't acting like a man. You going to stick by that?
Yes, I will. I will hold fast to that one. I actually think that by the age of 22, if you haven't learned how to work hard, you're cruising for a bruising, mister, because you're not going to snap into it at 23 and 24. And if you're not careful, you're going to develop a character trait of being lazy that's going to be, apart from God's Spirit changing you, you will be a lazy man. So yeah, I'm very comfortable saying that.
Yeah, help me out with this, because it's something that I've been working on. I'm going to be speaking to a group of young people, and I'm trying to articulate that a young man hears these biblical truths, and it's like, got it. How do you encourage them to, no, commit to it? So get up in the morning. Don't sleep in until 2 in the afternoon. Start doing stuff, because that is the godly way, and you will be blessed and you will grow and you'll become more like Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How do you persuade a young person things like, look, you need to be a member of a local church? No, articulate the mindset that should desire that. You tracking with me?
I think I am. You tell me after I attempt to answer this if I'm tracking. I always appreciate when a person starts off with the biblical case and they paint it not in a thou shalt or else you will, but a vision of the good life. So start with the portrait of where do you want to be when you're late 30s? You want to be living at home? Do you want to be dependent on mom and dad to provide for you? Is that what really excites you? I mean, fundamentally, no, most men are thinking in high school years, early college, like, I want to be standing on my own two feet. I want to be a provider for my household to whatever degree that looks like. I want to be independent for sure. Own a home, be able to provide for cars to my home. Okay, well, if that's what you want, then I can say that's what God wants for you. Not in a materialistic way, but God wants you to be a hard worker and a provider in that way. So instead of me saying, y'all are a lazy generation. This generation they're just lazy. They don't know how to work hard. I honestly think the young men are gone. Like you've just lost all of them. But if you say, you know what? The thing that you want is actually what God wants in this. And doing it the way that he has prescribed by honoring him through his word is the means to getting that level of independence, which comes from working hard, bearing the yoke in your youth.
That's exactly the direction that I'm thinking. Also, the willingness to commit to it for the long term, because I think most of us would prefer a quick fix. So, okay, I'll work hard on Monday. I didn't get a raise in the corner office on Tuesday. No, just commit to it because it's the right thing to do. It's the godly way to live. And ultimately, you'll see the fruit sometime. But it's I gotta have it immediate or I quit.
Yes, this generation almost has to be coached. And I find this generation to be receptive. And I'm talking about high school, college. That's typically where I'm teaching. This generation has to hear that your first job is not the place that you most likely dreamed of. You're going to work in your first job and do things that you didn't anticipate. And the reason you went to college or trade school or learned to craft is so that you could continue to move to that more enjoyable position and more enjoyable. So your first position is not going to be the one you dreamed of. Reverse engineer. When you turn 30, at the age of 30, you can potentially have your dream job or start in your dream field, but there's 10 or 12 years of grinding.
It's just gonna take some time.
Slogging it out.
But you'll grow weary and you're going to throw in the towel if your motive is, oh, I'm just going to be able to have the stuff that I really dig. Well, no, that's not going to help you to create endurance. It's got to be, I'm committed to doing things God's way.
I agree.
I tend to think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, and it shows you follow the statutes, you think on God's word, and look at all the fruit that not so the ungodly. And I find, especially for Christian young men and women, well, yes, I do have my foot in the precepts of God, but I still go to the university. And you think that you've got a foot in both worlds when the reality is no, you actually have 2 feet in the unbiblical world.
Mm.
You've got to have both feet planted, committed. I am going to do things God's way, trusting he knows better than I do.
Yes. Committing your way to the Lord.
Oh, look at that, a Bible verse.
To the Lord.
Look at you. I think you're a biblical counselor or something. All right.
Commit it.
All right. Another word that describes a biblical man I thought was rather interesting. Chivalry, honoring women was a term that you used to say, that's what a biblical man is.
Yes.
Are we talking about pulling out the chair, opening the car door?
Yes, maybe, depending on how they relate to you. So my basic thesis in that episode was to say, look, you have to identify who this lady is and how she relates to you. And after you've done that, you then treat her accordingly. And there's two general categories. It's as a sister or as a mother. So I'm going to treat you like I would my own sister, or if you're older than I am, I'm going to treat you like a mother. So yes, there are times when I'm opening doors, I'm holding bags, I'm grabbing a jacket or sharing a jacket. And then there are times whenever I'm holding back on doing those things because I don't want to miscommunicate, hey, I'm not going to give my jacket to a total stranger lady, and I don't want to give off the wrong impression. But in the end, my goal is to act honorably to all women. And as a man, I see that it is a special duty that I have. God has given me the strength he has given to us as men to protect women and to honor them, not to exploit them and or use them.
So you're going to a door and you see a woman coming behind you. You open it and she says to you, "Do you think I need the help of a man?" Are you going to insist she go through it, or will you walk through it and say, "My bad"?
I would, yes. Every time I would choose the latter, I would say, "My apologies. I wanted to simply show honor to you, but you do what you feel is best."
And leave it at that. But most women, your contention is most women, if it isn't done with a, "Well, let me take care of that for you, Toots."
That's right.
They're going to probably appreciate it.
I have yet, and I know my experience is not authoritative, but I've yet to experience a circumstance where me or my boys open a door for a lady and she say, "How dare you?"
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've just never experienced that.
No, and you probably won't, because that's what it means to be a biblical man. Dr. Greg Gifford, the Transform podcast, I commend it to you most heartily. And don't miss Transform, the TV show. It comes with a study guide for Sunday school and youth groups. Dr. Gifford, thank you very much. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.